Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Pray to the Virgin Mary.
Mary!
Mary! Oh!
Jesus Christ! No!
When they start fighting in the reunion, Renee just goes, no!
No! No!
I wanted to talk about, I finally watched The Eternals, that Marvel movie that Angelina Jolie was in.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, we were watching the Obi-Wan series on, oh, it's good. The Star Wars Disney Plus Obi-Wan series is great.
What have I done?
Mandalorian?
You're trying to start a fucking war?
You're starting a fucking war. You're coming at my face?
You're coming at my face
yes,
over
I
here
am.
With fucking Star Wars and Marvel?
Have you ever seen The Mandalorian?
No.
Oh, Laura, you'd like it. It's like a Western Dole. But Ewan
A Western. Oh.
But Ewan McGregor reprises his role, and he's so sexy, and I love him, and he's great.
All right, I'm going to have to take a minute to process
this.
Well,
we were on the Disney Plus app, and we were like, let's watch The Eternals.
These gays have taken a turn.
Gays are all kind of nerds, though. Come on.
Gays are turning into, like, nerdy Disney folk.
I mean,
Pride is Disneyland at this point.
I am no Disney gay.
Well, you are on Disney Plus.
Well, so anyway, we were like, let's try The Eternals, because there was truly nothing on TV.
You have watched the entire universe of television.
I have.
At this
and like,
point.
I, my days all, my weeks are completely built around Thursday. The Staircase, now The Deep End, and Hacks. So, like,
oh,
I bide my time until Thursday.
I'm so behind on everything.
Well, that's your fault. And we watched The Eternals.
I don't have a fucking privilege of a partner to, like,
have
batten down the hatches
hold you.
Literally watch like every random TV show that's ever
well you know
come
what
out.
And I don't drink, so I watch.
I don't drink either.
I don't drug, so I watch. So we watched The Eternals because it has like Angelina Jolie.
I know who it has.
Richard Madden, who I think is, who was in that show Bodyguard.
Is Sebastian Stan in it?
No, that's
Salma. She's in it.
Salma Hayek is in it. Gemma
Chan.
Yeah, she's in it.
She's hot.
She's so beautiful. It's good. Kamalan is in it.
It's good?
No, it's good that they're all in it.
Oh, okay.
And Miss Jolie is in it. Angelina Jolie got $35.5 million to play this character that literally does not speak. And when she does, she's in a British accent.
Hell yeah.
She has blonde hair. She's thin as a rail, and she plays Athena, the goddess of war.
Oh, that's tight. She's just Botox to the gods. Athena is the goddess of neurotoxins.
I truly cannot believe, like, I don't give a shit how much people make in movies, but this, I was actually like, I'm offended that she made a lifetime of money to play this role, which she has about 20 lines, and her
work.
Basically, I mean, it's kind of chic that she got
I
that.
I mean, that's just like that's, good on her. That's a scam. That's a scam.
Oh, it's a scam?
That's modern day scamming.
And good for her. She has seven
high
kids.
Level. I mean, yeah, I would
need
30.
And she's got a divorce.
That's like just the basis that you need to just raise
seven
kids from birth to 18. That's not even like, that's like you're cut off when you're 18. That's just covering those 18 years.
And
that's
she has
$5 million a kid. Seems reasonable.
And who knows what she's dealing with, so with the divorce.
Oh, she also needs her attorneys on call.
So, but wait, listen. So she gets $35.5 million for this role.
Mm-hmm.
Salma Hayek only got five, which I was offended by because she was putting in the work.
She's big in the movie.
Yeah, she's sort of like one of the main characters. But,
okay.
But it is, it was a horrific movie. And
it's like one of the worst of last year. And also, was it a total bomb?
It was a total bomb.
Which is shocking because Chloe Zhao.
I know,
directed
she just won
it.
The Oscar. I have to say, I mean, I didn't see Nomad Woman, but
I did, and I felt suicidal afterwards.
Okay, but I
mean, it was good, but I was also just like, oh my god, I'm literally like
AMS.
I am her.
I am she.
I am she, and destined to van alone.
Okay, but. I'm thinking, you know, and good for her that she got that Marvel money, but like I was just like didn't have a soul. And not that I'm saying I don't think most Marvel movies have much of a soul, but like I was just like, and I'm not a superhero person.
What's your favorite Marvel movie?
Oh, I don't even know. I mean, I like the original Spider-Man. With Kirsten.
Have you seen Spider-Man No Way Home or whatever the hell?
No, I haven't seen any of the new ones. Including the Andrew Garfield iteration. I liked Tobey Maguire.
I'm just so curious how you got to a place of Eternals.
Because we were just on the app, girl. And it was...
This is when you needed an intervention.
It was.
You needed to, like, have someone stop you.
I mean, Simon, to his credit, went, really? And I went, yes. And he was like, all right.
That's love.
But we didn't finish it. It's 3 hours
yeah,
long.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But it was... But Angelina Jolie was her... Her vibe was Raven's pose. That's what I got. She was like, they were like...
What, like Edgar Allan Poe?
No, just her poses were very bird-like. And I feel like she was like, I'm going to have a British
She's
accent.
Pterodactyl vibes.
Totally. And she was like, I think I'm going to have a British accent. And they're like, well, that doesn't really... doesn't
She's
call for it.
A Greek goddess.
And she was like, well... And she's like, what if I sort of do this with high cheekbones? And they're like, so you're basically pitching Maleficent. And she was like, no. She was basically
no, completely different.
She cannot get out of she's in Maleficent mode for the rest of her life. But this movie was unbelievable. It was so crazy and shockingly bad.
Yeah, it looked like that from the trailer. I was just like, what is happening?
But I did see The Northman because it's streaming now.
I need to see that. Oh, it's streaming. Okay, honestly, okay, Q2. We're still in the midst of humiliation quarter, but I hope to end Q2 with a full-blown, like, entertainment. I just decide I can't go to AMC anymore. Like, it's taken everything out of me.
Heartbreak doesn't feel good in a place like this.
No, heartbreak feels like terrible. I want to die in a place like this. In this reeking of weird popcorn butter, sticky surfaces, everything's black and red.
Century City is good.
Century City's fine.
That's
like, I'll
the only one
it.
That you can go to.
Well, yeah, and it has to be like, there has to be a day made out of it. Where
the
you
Grove?
Head to the Westfield, you like hit Nordstrom, you might get a Din Tai Fung moment, you might go to Shake Shack, or
your girl.
You go to Italy. And really do it up. And then you celebrate by seeing a movie in that huge AMC theater that's so big and bright that you forget that it's an AMC.
The Grove is cavernous and disgusting.
Yeah, it just is the vibes are terrible. But I was like, maybe if I just get a 77 to 85 inch television that's like OLED, that's like the size of this wall space, and then like surround sound, then I just have the theater and I am the Nicole Kidman of my own universe.
Did you get a TV?
No, I'm still rocking like a 30 inch LG.
It was, yeah, you should sit down with The Northman at some point.
I want to. I really want to see it, but I just cannot bring myself to like I can't bring myself to like go to the movies anymore. It's devastating.
But Top Gun, I want to see in the theater.
I know. And everyone's saying that's good. And I'm really am resistant.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Everyone that I've spoken with has loved it.
It just broke like every record at the, like, yeah. It's like
Tom Cruise wins again. He's single-handedly props up the entertainment industry.
Honestly,
he and Nicole, honestly, they really are the two pillars of movies.
They're the last two movie stars.
He gets movies, she gets TV, and together they keep the entire entertainment industry afloat.
No, they actually, I mean, I think Top Gun made $200 million this weekend, which is like,
that's insane.
For also in these times.
In these trying
but
times?
Nicole
in these
and Tom,
AMC times?
They actually are the last two. More him, but I think they're the last two movie stars.
Yeah.
More than Brad. More than all of them.
Don't
more than Angelina.
Do not talk about
No,
Brad.
I will talk about it. But The Northman was good. It was good.
Was it a vibe doll?
It was a vibe doll. Skarsgård looks hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
Claes, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's mm-hmm. in it. Ethan Hawke. It's good. Bjork.
You know what I really need to...
What?
Not come out. Or just like come and go so it can release us all from its clutches.
I know what you're gonna say.
Black Telephone or whatever the fuck that movie is.
I don't like that. I don't want to see a billboard.
I'm so like that is a to me is a bad idea for a movie, and that movie looks bad and not scary at all.
Well, also, okay, here's my pitch. Right now, where I am in my life, I don't need a movie about a child killer. I don't need a movie about a man binding a young boy in his basement. I don't need to see that. I don't want to see that.
I want and crave supernatural, like, hauntings.
Yeah.
I like spirits. I like the other side. I like
totally.
An alien thing. I like other dimensions. I like meteors.
Well,
I like natural
Jordan
disasters.
Movie.
Yeah. But, like, I don't need another, like, dark, dingy room with a man in a weird mask. Like, I don't care. Who cares about this? Who is passionate about this movie?
Well, apparently
it's
really good.
Who looks at that trailer and is like, this is it.
Apparently it has, it's really good.
Is it, though?
It has good reviews.
I don't trust a reviewer.
But...
the only reviewer I trust is honestly myself, and I'm saying right now the trailer did not give me chills. I pray from the second it appears on a screen for it to be over. Every billboard I see, I'm true eye roll.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, another scary mask. Wow, really reinventing the wheel here.
I thought it was The Purge.
It's like in The Purge universe?
No, I thought it looked like, you know, in The Purge they all wear those masks?
It's all derivative.
The Northman, though, back to it, was Nicole was starting.
She goes on her own journeys acting-wise.
She's in another movie in that movie. She's combing her hair. She has long, ass-long hair. And Anya Taylor is starting.
That was Nicole Kidman in Destroyer, who decided that she would be in a different movie from everyone else.
Well, in Northman, Nicole also looks like she's in 2022.
Yeah.
She's basically like, oh, I'm going to believe that in Iceland
Viking era?
800 AD that she had Botox.
Full facial plastic surgery.
But her and Kleist are hot together.
Oh, are they together? Sexy. Mm-hmm.
Well, shit. Did
what?
I spoil it?
I don't know. I don't care.
Skarsgård is buff. He's channeling True Blood.
He knows what the people want. He knows how to give them what they want again and again and again.
But it's good. It's good. It's not. It actually wasn't what I was.
Is it a drama?
I don't know what it is.
Is it action?
It's like action horror drama.
Love that. I'll
just
watch
A24.
It. I'll check it out.
Or is it A24?
Don't ask me.
All right. Miss.
What else you got?
Full of
plus?
Full of vim and vigor today.
I am shaken. I'm shaken. I will be honest by the Disney Plus. The thing. It's taken a Disney Plus.
The Mandalorian is a great movie. It's a great show. And Pedro Pascal's in it. And he's sexy. And his voice is awesome. And it's a great show. And Amy Sedaris is in it.
I do love that.
So it's actually good. You would like it. It's You would like it because Baby Yoda.
I just have to
Yoda...
really budget my time. And I do love Baby Yoda.
He's very...
He is Tony vibes. But I are when you already own Baby Yoda.
Listen, I get what you mean. I understand the bone chilling of it. I don't watch any
I'm just
of the
scared.
Other. No, listen. Mandalorian is something else. They're half hour episodes. It's very quick. It's like, it feels like you're watching a Western movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. I was kind of like, ugh, going into it, and I was changed.
Okay.
I would give it a try, Dole.
Maybe, Dole.
Other big news. The
trial of the century has come to an end.
For all of our sanity and souls, we are...
No, it's definitely a good thing that it's over.
I think it brought out the worst discourse, the worst of the worst on social media.
Yeah, I was tapped out for the most part, like, not in the mix on Twitter. But on Instagram, it was interesting to see who was, like... I just can't imagine being so genuinely excited for Johnny Depp to win this trial that I would post about it on Instagram. Like,
No, I know.
Maybe from, like, a place of irony or lols or sarcasm, I would, but not from a place of, like, genuine joy, which people really went hard.
My mom told me yesterday, my daily check-ins with my mom is when I get all of my...
She's team, this is sad for you both.
She thinks he's a pig.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
He is. She said that people were paying $30,000 for front row seats.
To his performance with Jeff Beck?
In the court.
Who has that kind of cash?
Apparently these people don't have jobs, but they're somehow affording lodging and travel to Fairfax.
Well, I found out recently, geography lesson, that Fairfax is like D.C. essentially. So it's not like, I thought it was like a tiny town in Virginia. But again, this ain't a geography. We are not geography specialists on this podcast.
But I'm sure they were staying in like a D.C. hotel. Amber Heard was.
No, it's just like.
But to genuinely celebrate his win, because it's not a win. No one won, I don't think.
Yeah, it's just like a...
It was sad. I think it's just a sad state of affairs. And it brought out the worst in everyone. And I think...
It was a reality TV show. It was a cultural moment. It was... it was reality TV. It held up a mirror to the culture. And you either are liking what you see or questioning what you see... But it was entertaining, at least.
Him being like, thank you to my loyal fans. And it's like, dude, you're not winning. It's like, what are you celebrating? Like, you're still a flop and you're not a star anymore. You're still a wife beater and you're still a pig. Sorry.
It remains to be seen because I think that this... There's such a PR strategy behind everything that he's done. And
right.
It's clearly shown, like, the people in charge, like executives in Hollywood, for example, that he has an ardent fan base.
He does.
Like, root for him. They fucking ride for him. And now that he's been, like, cleared that he's, like, won this, like, defamation case. And
Wand.
The showing and, like, the press is all, I think, in service of him getting cast in, like, another huge movie where he can make 20 mil or something.
35.5 million.
But I'm also just like, okay, he's a pig. And now it really is up to, like, a casting director. I mean, it's, like, in the hands of, like, business people, are you going to reward this person? Or, like, is this the person you're going to choose to, like, represent
your
film? Is that what you want? Like, knowing what you know, which is clearly he struggles from, like, addiction issues, can't show up to work on time, like, allegedly, like, stalls productions from being late, like, flies off the handle, punched a crew member once, like...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, has had... multiple incidents, has had flop after box office flop, and
Mordecai.
Was definitely Mordecai. And like
like, will you then, you're going to be the person to give him a job? And I think, unfortunately, there are definitely people that will give him a job or people that will, like, work for him to get those jobs again. But that's also just kind of the system we live in.
Yeah, and I think...
It's all surface-level, appearance-based rather than, like, deep critical thinking about the truth of the matter.
Yeah, and I think for me it just showed, like, people still don't... This is just my opinion, but I feel like if a woman is not a perfect victim, then she can't be believed. And I think Amber was a good example of being someone who clearly has done wrong herself, but was also abused and a victim. And I think because she was, it takes more of a nuanced look at domestic violence and abuse. I think people, it shows that people still don't trust a woman if she's not like a complete, if she has done nothing wrong, she has to have done nothing wrong and be completely of valor, I think, to be believed. And I think Amber was just flawed and had baggage. And I think that's what it showed.
Yeah, I think that's certainly like a narrative or like a take that I've seen online. But I think that, well, no, I mean, but like, it also kind of dismisses the fact that she lied about a lot of things and like wasn't, she didn't, there's being flawed and then there's like actively not taking ownership over like.
Yeah, I say this. She did lie. She was full of shit about some stuff. And I think she was actively harming him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was actively harming her. And I think the narrative that has now been spun is that he did nothing to her. And that's sort of, it is what is sort of being, even if the technicalities of the verdict do say that he defamed her and was violent with her.
That she defamed him.
That she, it's all basically he's absolved of everything. And that's what freaks me out, is that it's chilling, I think, because it just basically now he's been absolved of everything he's done.
Well, that's the press spin on it, too. His PR's spin on everything.
That's the court of public opinion, and that is the ultimate thing. And I think it shows that now he's, even though it's proven that he did do these things, I think, it's now he didn't do anything and she was the violent one. And I think that freaks me out.
Yeah, it's definitely like a gross manipulation of the legal system for sure. And also just like the people's inability to like really think critically around a situation like this and like do research and really like read about it and understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Really is difficult to believe the things that she was saying given the evidence that was shown. Like, those two things just did not add up, and I don't believe that she's like completely lying and just making up all these incidents. I think that there likely was violence on both sides, but it really is just more of like, it's a mirror of like a cultural moment more than summing it up as like a, here's what to take away from it. It's just like, this happened. Like, what does this whole thing mean? You know what I mean?
And look, I'm not like,
I think there are definitely some women that aren't like, I think that that's true in some situations where it's like, if you're not a perfect victim, you're not believed. But I don't think that that's the case in this specific case. And I was shocked that he won. I really did not think that he would win.
And then he was being a rock star over in London. I was like,
and also like, he's bad at music though. Like,
he's not.
It's just, it's very old guard versus new guard of like how this plays out, and the people that really align themselves with him kind of represent like an old way of doing things a bit, and like, it's just like kind of out of touch.
I for one am just happy I don't have to hear about Sweetser again and Nurse Debbie.
I know, I'm sad. Who was like the star of the trial? The vape guy?
The guy driving around was pretty funny.
He was great. I like people that just like straight up didn't have time for this.
Ellen Barkin was a star.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her deposition.
I was really shocked that he won, because I thought for sure, like...
But yeah, I mean, it was just a sad state of affairs, and I hope...
It's a real tragedy for everyone involved, and it is...
Not Cami Vasquez.
No, I mean, she's walking away winning, but I'm also like, she did the job that she was hired to do. You know what I mean? People that are like... She's gonna burn in hell. It's like, what? Well, she's a fucking lawyer. No, of course,
all lawyers are scumbags, but...
Not all lawyers are scumbags, but it's like, she's an attorney. She's a litigator who's hired to, like, win a case. Like, what? That are like, hey, I'm like, what do you expect? Like, a lawyer to get hired and not do their job?
No, I'm not saying that. I think she did do her... She did her job very well. I just... To get a tattoo of her on your knee...
No, I mean, it's crazy. It's like, there's just craziness everywhere, and it really amplified that. And that's just like...
Well, Johnny, have fun doing whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, I wonder, I'm intrigued to see where the career goes from here. I'm sure that given his behavior and his like track record, I'm sure that he will flop again unless he truly gets sober, which I think is the thing that's getting... really shoved
is that he's
the
a
things
fucking
that's
addict.
Like really like not apparent and seems like he gets away with is like his addiction, and that's just like detrimental for him and his family
and for society.
Yeah,
because like the stigma of addiction is still so there that people, it's something that people still cannot talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's really crazy. As someone, you know, I see it all the time. Like, people just do... It's, like, one of the last frontiers of, like, public discourse about things is addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And how so many people struggle. And I think more than ever, considering the last few years. But it's wild to me to watch people try to explain everything without ever mentioning the A word. And that blows my mind a little.
Yeah. There were moments where, I guess, like, in testimony and stuff, he was, like, detoxing or, like... stuff or having sobriety moments, but it is like this is like a drug addict and an alcoholic, and this is like very much the cycle of addiction playing out over and over and over. And it is like if you reach a certain status and like your money reaches a certain status, the chance that you will actually have like an eye-opening experience around that and decide to like change course is like gets slimmer and slimmer and slimmer.
One last thing, and then I don't want to talk about it again, but when like his past girlfriends or partners came forward and said he never did anything. Okay, this is just, I just want to say this. It's addiction progresses, and you can be in one era of your life as an addict, you can be benign and not hurting anyone, or you know what I mean, and if you can progress to a point where you're hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's I'm just saying this like just to say it, it's a progressive disease. I know for myself, by the end I was angry and like doing things that were completely out of character and like the most like lower self version of myself. And it's possible that Johnny Depp got to a point where, and he was sort of crescendoing while with Amber, that his disease just like made him do crazy violent shit, and it happens. And people, the discourse of seeing people like, he never has any history of, it's like, well, maybe he didn't then, but he did now. And like, it, if you don't get help and you're acting as though like rules don't apply and like you don't have to like better yourself for the people that you love, you go fucking crazy. And I think that needs to also be talked about, is that addiction progresses and you can become a violent person even though you've never been one before if you're on fucking coke and wine.
Yeah. And it's like eye-opening if it gets to that point. It's like some people I think are like abusive like from young ages. Totally. Or that's like how they are in relationships. And this does sound like this was like a drug addict who like would spiral out of control and then get violent at times, which is, it's definitely, it still is like
physical violence at the end of the day, but where it comes from, I think, is a little bit different. Not saying that that excuses it by any means, but that's like just another reason to really want to get help or like not be that kind of person anymore.
I just know for myself.
But it's also like if you're with someone that's starting physical fights and like it is entering the fight already at that level of throwing punches and swinging, and it's like, what the fuck do you expect kind of thing? Yeah. And I think that there's been, I think it's dangerous when you take, absolve anyone from taking like responsibility for their own actions 100%. In her case. And I do feel bad for like all the hate that she's getting. I think it's like, it is a lot, but in the same breath, I'm like, you kind of walked yourself into this one, like this like public setting of like arbitrating this really difficult situation. I'm like, yeah, it's the fascinating thing to me is like what it brings up in other people, like where what about it gets them flared up or going, because I think everyone has something different that it like lights something. And that's like truly, that's just like an interesting moment of self-reflection for people if they care to like take it to that place.
Well, speaking of self-reflection,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Speaking of self-reflection or lack thereof, Renee has been doing a whole new approach to social media where she is disco dancing in the kitchen. She's back to being an island gal, but maybe there seems to be no island, and she has become the island. That island is in motion.
It's truly the last days of disco up in her Instagram, and I'm here for it.
I'm into it.
She's a good dancer.
Yeah, she's got moves and charisma. She should go on Dancing with the Stars.
She should. I wonder if that's what she's...
She absolutely should do Dancing with the Stars.
She really should. And I think she has like a... She has the redemption narrative that they love doing on that show. Like a underdog sort of coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
She'd be perfect for it.
She's always like wearing a caftan and like barefoot and just on her linoleum.
Or like a jumper. Also, she's like obsessed with losing weight, and I feel like you drop like 30 pounds immediately when you do Dancing with the Stars.
She had another. She's been pretty like keeping it real lately with her. What she offers us. It's still very airbrushed, but like.
I don't know about keeping it real. I like no, perused. I perused and I was like, every single photo, even photos from like 1985, are yassified and smashed.
No, when I say keeping it real, I say that in jest.
Okay.
But it's not as like avant-garde NFT, but she's still. There was one post recently where I was like, and she's back. It's like her head. She loves to just turn her head completely to an unnatural angle with no neck.
It's like this, but then a full yassification.
I love it.
It's a performance art. She's doing things. She's taking risks and doing things on social media, and I love that about her.
It just made me want to go to like a disco club with her in Staten Island.
I know.
You make me feel like I'm real.
I went to a rave and they played that at the rave.
Sylvester.
Yeah, it was so good.
That's sort of
Saturday. That's the song.
Of Pride.
Oh, is it?
It's like a, yeah, he was like flamboyantly gay.
Yeah. Like I just thought it was like Studio 54.
Well, yeah, but it's like such a 70s gay, like.
Yeah. I guess like every disco was the gayest.
Yeah.
Era. And even if you weren't gay, if you were listening to disco, you were gay. That means my dad was like the gayest person.
I mean, everyone in the 70s
was pretty gay.
Was sucking cock in some way.
I feel like the 70s were the last golden age where everyone was just like, do whatever.
Well, then AIDS came and it's sort of in the Reagan era, and it's sort of like, I feel like that made people more rigid.
Mm-hmm.
Straight people were afraid. Gay people had to be like,
yeah, AIDS ruined everything.
Yeah,
once again, fuck you, AIDS.
Oh, speaking of AIDS, Nancy Reagan, the Bidens are tomorrow are honoring her with a stamp, and there were some funny Nancy
throat
Reagan
goat.
Throat. Someone said one of the stamps that could be a possible stamp was Nancy Reagan didn't make Thursdays throat fuck Thursdays, and that's a crime.
Yeah. I want a stamp.
You
want to be a stamp?
You want to be on a stamp?
Yeah, but I also want a Nancy Reagan stamp. I think that's like iconic.
It's camp.
That's camp.
Mm-hmm.
I will be at the post office bright and early to get my Nancy. Are they forever stamps?
Probably. I mean, Nancy Reagan is mailing. She's mailing a lot of letters down in hell.
If I was honored on a stamp, it needs to be a forever stamp or I'm not fucking interested. Don't you dare put a cash price on my head. It needs to be always applicable.
Nancy Reagan needs her stamps so she can mail all her apology letters to Rock Hudson.
So
you didn't like that joke?
What? No, I don't believe in hell, actually.
I believe in the outer darkness, in a sort of Mormon stance.
You're a Mormon at heart?
No, I just believe that people create their own hells.
I believe we live in hell on earth, and then whatever
right
happens
now.
After, yeah, like we're living hell on a day-to-day basis, but like whatever, I don't believe in heaven or hell.
Ugh.
It's just the ether, and then you like reincarnate. Your soul goes on in the great big ocean of ether.
I have thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
I don't believe in heaven, but I believe in some kind of like consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Because energy can't be destroyed nor created.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your consciousness is energy. So it kind of just changes form.
Your soul?
Yeah. Or I don't know if it's a soul, but
separate
I think...
separate from soul.
Yeah, I think your consciousness is your soul. And it's sort of... I don't even know if you know that you're dead.
Yeah, it, like, merges into something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just blackness. That would suck.
Well, would you even know? It's like when you're asleep, you don't know that you're asleep. So maybe you just go to sleep forever. And then that's the tea.
When you go to you close your eyes and you hear, you make me feel.
And then I go, oh.
You would be a queen of the disco.
Fun, yeah. I believe like the afterlife is just like an ethereal rave and everyone's there.
And like, it's kind of all just fine at the end.
That's nice.
I mean,
I've got sort of a Catholic.
You have a real Catholic. It's like you're subscribing to like a it's not exactly purgatory, but then there is like a huge hell. But there's no heaven, but there's just hell.
No. When I say Nancy Reagan's in hell, I'm kidding. But if there was a hell, I'd hope that she would be there with Ronald.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I guess I just don't wish people in hell, really. Who do I wish goes to hell?
There's
literally like maybe two people who I shan't be naming on this podcast, but yeah. But I don't but that's really and when I wish that on someone, I then turn it back around and ask myself, like, why? And then it probes inner and deeper. Can you tell I'm doing
Ms. Therapy?
Can you tell that I'm doing Morning Pages in the Artist
Yeah,
way?
I can.
Honey, I beg of everyone to fucking join me.
Okay, I can't even get into it. Anyway,
what?
I think if you ignored / inflicted pain on people who were suffering, then it's okay to, like, troll and trash someone.
Yeah, troll and trash them, but a judgment on someone's like soul in the afterlife or like what it's like.
I think it's funny to make
it's funny.
It's funny to like make a joke about Nancy Reagan writing letters in hell.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
And Ronald is like providing the spit for the letters, for the stamps.
He's providing pre-cum that she's using to seal the letters. Maybe they're finally like.
Maybe they're
I think they're just like having like they discovered like gay orgies and gay sex, and she's an ally on the other side.
Hopefully, let's hope.
I think that there's just like maybe peace on the other side. This is what I'd like to perpetuate instead of like scary hell. But yeah,
I'm gonna write my morning pages about that.
You should.
Who's that?
Oh, this is my masseur who's texting me, Anna. So chic. Thank you to friend of the pod, Jocelyn, for hooking it up.
Friend of the pod, a.k.a. mother.
Mother. Wait, I just need to send a text.
So chic, so ahead of time. Oh, happy birthday to Gemini Queen Azealia Banks. You have the same birthday as Azealia Banks.
May 30th?
Oh, she's May 31st.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She's a day after, but a fellow Gemini Queen.
We stan.
Fucking love her so much.
Nicole
Kidman
her.
Is a Gemini queen.
That tracks.
Angelina Jolie is a Gemini queen.
Wow.
Mary-Kate and Ashley, both Gemini queens.
Heavy hitters.
There's really, really good Geminis out there. Jeremy O'Harris, Gemini queen.
Love.
The Geminis, we come through. We pull through.
We ride.
We ride. We fly. We're airy. We flip from one place to the next. It's all good.
Shout out to Jeremy O'Harris, Nicole Kidman, Angelina Jolie, and Lars Murray.
Thank you. Wait, okay, so should we get into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast.
Mad Wives!
This is the reunion episode, part one of two.
Hosted by Joy Behar.
Okay.
I'm going no notes because I have it in my head.
Joy Behar hosting is insane, but then I was very into her hosting style because she moves quick. She gets on to the next.
And
there's
trolls.
No time. She asks a lot of important questions and she's like not afraid to ask the questions, but she like moves really fast. I think I'm used to the pacing of Andy Cohen's interview style in reunions where it's like it's like
yeah
slowed down in comparison to Joy.
I mean, Wendy and Joy both hosting the two seasons is pretty iconic.
Yeah, I would say let's get them to host more things.
Joy, I like Joy's style of kind of, oh wow, that's a crazy thing to say, you know. Joy's very like, she's antagonistic, she's sort of prods,
but she's also like business as usual unemotional.
Well, she's a Brooklyn girl.
Yeah, it's great.
Karen spray tan, wild.
Ramona looked strange.
Yeah.
Big Ange and Renee both looked incredible.
Flawless.
Rocking bangs.
Drita looked fucking flawless.
Drita looked amazing.
But she always does.
Always.
I'm really sad that I don't have time myself to spray tan prior to our shows because that was high on my list of priorities.
Well, not so fast because South Jersey is but a stone's throw away. And on Route 70, I'm sure they have some great spray tanning. We can investigate.
True. Maybe I can investigate and then show up for Philly at least with a spray tan to the gods.
Don't. That's the kind of the place to go, I feel like.
Yeah, you're actually right.
I know I'm right.
Okay. Renee's sister, Jen, is at the reunion.
Jen was a welcome. Jen was sort of this mystery that I wanted to know more about. And I liked her being there. And I liked Joy being like, did you think it was a little too much to be filming your sister's complete nervous breakdown?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, I did. And then Renee stopped me.
Yeah, Renee said, let's keep it going. She goes, and I said, this is Mob Wives and this is what we do and we got to show it. So like hats off to Renee for being an executive producer at this point of her own show.
Jen said that Renee has been doing this since she came out of the womb. So she's been living life this way since birth. So there's nothing stopping her.
Renee came out of the womb with bangs,
a cig,
and a BBL.
A BBL.
A BBL and a cig and a glass of wine.
And a Yankee
and a
candle.
Little bottle of painkillers and a tiny baby-sized Yankee candle and a teeny tiny baby-sized lighter.
Butterscotch squash.
Mm-hmm. And she just posted up in the corner of the delivery room and started smoking and drinking her glass of wine.
And going, oh!
No!
Jen also talks, we get Jen's insight on the Junior of it all. Jen said that she did have some suspicions that the rumors were true. Maybe before she even broached them with Renee, I think.
Yeah. Junior, what shocked me, a few things shocked me. So Renee said that she miscarried at one point, and everyone just kind of like ignored that statement and didn't really delve into it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also like, if you're drinking and smoking, I don't think that's like a hospitable environment for a fetus in the first place. And you're like incredibly stressed out.
And in a place of couch psychosis slash
prostrating yourself at the local like Virgin Mary statue farm. I just was like,
slash giving yourself throat polyps from screaming so hard. It was kind of a
that
statement.
Information that no one took the bait on. That shocked me.
Yeah. Everyone sort of was an unspoken agreement, like, we're all hearing this, right? Slash,
but we're just not gonna...
Let's move on.
Yeah, we're not addressing... We're not gonna delve into that.
Because I'm sad. That's a terrible thing for anyone to go through. But it felt kind of... I don't know. It just was like, oh.
Yeah, it's like kind of like, I don't really want to know more.
It was like in that article...
I'm like, you're trying to have a baby right now?
Yeah. Also,
it was just like, let's not. Even Joy's like, we're not.
Damn. And everyone was kind of like, well, I would have hoped that you would have called me, but that's so sad, Renee. And she was like, yes.
Yeah. Junior also wasn't her husband. I thought they were married. She says they weren't married and he proposed to her so he could move back in.
No, they were divorced and he was going to marry her again.
He's going to remarry her.
Yeah. No, they were married. What killed me was, and I think we talked about this on the recap of that episode, but when Renee gave him the watch for his birthday and his reaction was very muted and like looked panicked, and Drita's face when they, let's go to that scene, Drita went, oh,
she goes, I wouldn't have even thought that. She goes, I wouldn't have even put that together. She was shocked. And then they're like, do you think the rumors are true about him being a rat? And Ange goes, they're always true. She goes, if you hear them, they're usually true.
And this was interesting. Renee was like,
you hear it, it's the truth.
What Joy was kind of like, what's the deal with Junior these days? And she's like, last I heard, he was at the Queens Penitentiary for rats, which I guess is probably a jail where they put people who have
like high risk of getting stabbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, but then she said that witness protection denied him, so, like, he's just gonna be on his own journey now.
But then Ramona was like, never underestimate Junior. He'll come out and he'll get back into it and he'll run things again. I was like, all right, Ramona.
Again, for a girl who's so not connected to the lifestyle and wants nothing to do with it, you seem to know a lot. Joy, again, said total professional, should host more reunions. She will change the subject so quickly and just be moving on to the next. Renee says her friends won't talk to her.
That's sad.
Yeah.
It's also like, again.
Are they your friends?
We live in a society, ..
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
We get a big Ange supercut of her going, "Hi, my baby.
Hi, my babies.
I love her so much.
Drita.
The love grows and grows and grows with Ange.
And everyone, even Renee, just smiles like starry-eyed when they're talking about Renee. Joy goes, "Ange, how big are your tits?" And Renee goes, "They're a J."
Ange goes, I've had implants. She goes, "After kids, they were shot. They were so low, I could tuck them in my pants." And her tits are size 36J.
For Chizonga, that's what Renee says.
Ange goes, "You know how you go to Frederick's and they measure you? Not that I wear those bras. They're for the bedroom."
"Not that I wear those bras. They're for the bedroom."
I love her.
"They're inappropriate. And hi, my baby. Louie, my baby.
My baby." And she said, and Joy's like, "Do you ever get pissed off at anyone? Like, are you ever pissed?" And she was like, "No one ever." She's like, "I don't get pissed at people. No one ever pisses me off. I just am like, it doesn't happen."
But later, when they show the callback to the fight of the century at Renee's celebration of life party, Big Ange goes,
"I kind of take the credit for this one. I started it."
Because she did kind of start it.
She did encourage that to take place, like the talk to take place, but I truly believe in rewatching, it was Ramona who started it.
Of course.
Because she's the one that approached them when they were in like a heated place and she turned the heat all the way up.
I think when Karen and Drita are left on their own, there's heat and tension, but they always work it out.
I believe too that they would have been mad, but things would not have come to blows had Ramona not walked up and inserted herself into the conversation, because Drita does not like Ramona, and then Ramona was there getting in her face and being like loud,
and then she was like full on joker-fied.
Yeah, you can't like poke the bear if you know, and I think Ramona knew exactly what she was doing. She's fucking full of shit.
I think she's jealous of
Karen and Drita's friendship or connection.
I think that they had like a very deep friendship, and I think Ramona just never liked it. Because it's telling that Drita didn't really know her, and she and Karen are supposed to be these BFF for life since was 6 years old. So it's like that shows that they never vibed.
Yeah. Crazy the Johnny Depp Ramona connection of Donnie Brasco.
Oh, right.
The webs.
Something to think about.
The webs we weave.
She goes, "Yeah, her Al Pacino played her grandfather, aka like Lefty Toledo Smokehouse, barbecue smokehouse." And she goes, Joy goes, yeah, he was very, your grandfather was very handsome. And Ramona goes, yes, he was very handsome. I'm like, shut up about your grandfather.
Yeah, get over it.
Get over it.
Lucifina.
Lucifina, which she gave herself that name.
Yeah. I miss Derek Tobacco.
I know.
He was a real MVP that I was hoping to check in with time and time again. And then he really disappeared from the mix.
Well, go on his Twitter and he's...
He's a tweeting.
I think he's into NFTs.
I love that.
Remember, did I ever send you the video of Karen in her car? Like, you can see the highway in the background and she's like off to the side of the road and she's like really close up and she's like, yeah, so I'm really interested in getting into cryptocurrency. So if anyone could explain it to me, I'd really appreciate if you want to DM me or give me a call. I'll give you my number and we can talk it through because I'm curious about it. What do you guys think? And then like a day later, she was like, thank you to everyone who reached out to me and sort of got me into the crypto world. I fully understand it now and I'm ready to invest.
I love that. A success story.
I know.
Also, like, watch a TED Talk.
I just love, but that's how you use social media.
You need to ask for something and then you get it.
I've done that before on Twitter where I'll be like half serious, but also like, I want to know something. And then I start getting inundated with replies. And then in my head, I go, oh no, why did I do this?
Yeah, you really have to be like vigilant about what it is you're asking for because you will get an answer. Ramona claims that she had a talk with Al Pacino about his character in Donnie Brasco.
No, she's giving acting tips to
I'm obsessed. Al I'm Pacino. Obsessed with telling Al Pacino how you want the character to be played.
Yeah. I love her.
Can you just make sure that you make it known that he loved his kids and family?
She's basically like, and can you say that he loved, just be like, I love my one granddaughter the most.
Just be like, my granddaughter Ramona was such a light of my life. If
light
you can
of my
just
life.
Work that into a scene. She like has no idea how like movies work.
No.
She just thinks like, I bet she doesn't even realize that like people write scripts for things.
She probably didn't even know who Al Pacino was.
I feel like she probably did.
Because of The Godfather?
Yeah. Because he's like in the gangster movie, like Hall
That's
of
true.
Fame. So I feel like every Italian knows who Al Pacino and like Robert De Niro are.
But she walked into his trailer and said, hey, my name's Ramona. I'm the granddaughter. And I want to tell you something.
I'm the granddaughter. I never met my grandfather, but I really want you to play him well. Did she ever even meet him?
According to her, he raised her.
Okay.
But I'm...
She didn't know that he was connected until much later in life. She goes, I was heartbroken. I was devastated. I was like, you were neither of those things. You are a liar, Lucifer.
You're a liar, Lucifina.
Fucking Lucifer strikes again. She's trying to start a war.
Oh, yeah. Joy does this. There's a supercut of all the weird phrases the women say. And Joy goes, why do you guys keep saying starting a war?
They're always starting a war.
And they go, it's a Staten Island thing. And then the girl called Carla goes, I'm from Brooklyn and it travels over from Brooklyn.
Carla and Renee clear up why Renee got mad. But at this point, I got really confused
and
lost.
Well, it's not Carla, it's
the girl Ramona.
The girl called Carla.
The girl called Carla.
Thank you.
And Renee talk about why Renee got mad at her for Renee thought she was insinuating that she knew about Junior being a rat, but Carla was saying that she might have thought that Junior was cheating on her.
Yeah, Carla is a really good friend of Renee, I think.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, she's looking out for Renee. Their friendship, as you see as the seasons goes on, they become...
Tight?
No, they become sworn enemies.
Wow.
They really... There's a scene... I mean, I won't blow it, but... And lest we forget, they had a knockout, drag down fist fight at Renee's house.
Yeah, she strangled her.
Remember, it was a Sunday
they
night
did, yeah.
spaghetti dinner at mm-hmm. Renee's, and they literally were on the floor punching each other. And,
wow.
And then afterward, they were laughing and cheersing.
Mm-hmm. Then Karen and Carla argued about God knows what.
I blacked this out. I'm sorry.
There just was so much screaming. It was really hard to keep track of who was saying what. But I do know that it culminated in Karen going, yeah, well, you fucked my uncle who was married for 8 years. And I was like, wait, she fucked her uncle? And at that point, Renee goes, excuse me, I'm leaving, and stomps off. And I was like,
wait a second. And then I expected us to all circle back and focus in on the uncle fuck. I was like, okay, we've hit something.
Uncle fucker.
Let's go. And then it was just never addressed again.
Well, that truly shut your fucking face, uncle fucker. But it was, that's a bomb, because there was a moment where they insinuated that the girl called Kala fucks married men.
Yeah, and I guess the married man that she fucked was Karen's uncle.
I'm leaving. Excuse me, I'm leaving.
And she just walked off.
Was she outraged over the...
I think the uncle fuck... she just had enough. And she said, excuse me, I'm leaving.
I have to say that the reunions, they're not like Housewives, which spend a lot of time in between the compilations, like with fighting. This was a little more, this was like 75% compilations. 25%.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we watched this whole thing. Like, I know exactly what happened. Like, let's now hone in on miscarriage, uncle fucking, the fight,
Al Pacino,
Kitchen Island Demon, Al Pacino,
Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. I love when the fight set up the big misunderstanding, I guess, was that Karen wanted to talk to Drita ahead of filming at Renee's celebration of life. But then every time she asked Jennifer about it, Jennifer said that Drita's not ready to talk, which I think was just producer vibes to be like, I'm going to hold off on this conversation until we can for sure film it.
Jen's good.
Jen's really good, but she got called out in this moment because Drita was like, I never said that. Like, she goes, I'm not saying Jen's lying, but like, I never said that. And then Joy goes, Jen, get over here. And I love like the fact that on this reunion of this show, you can call in a producer to clear something up. Like, they need to do that on Vanderpump Rules.
Well, the fact that the producer is the sister of the main cast member mm-hmm. is
major.
Kind of next level.
Yeah. So Jennifer kept telling Karen that Drita wasn't ready. Yeah. And so I think that she definitely just wanted to capture that.
That's good. I mean, you have to be, I always think about this, but like to be one of these producers on a reality, like you have to have a dark side.
We have to be okay with like manipulating people.
You've seen Unreal, right?
I kind of watched some of the first season, but I just like didn't get super into it.
I didn't finish the whole thing, but I liked seeing how they do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you have to really pit people against each other and think strategically about what's going to play best on camera, which I think was like,
I couldn't do that.
I could do it, but it would be really hard once you develop like a personal relationship. I don't think I could have like a personal friendship with someone and then also set them up to like,
well, yeah, and she has decades long relationships with these women, Jen. Yeah. Like, she's grown up with these women, so mm-hmm. it's like that makes it even crazier because they trust her inherently because they've known her since they were kids, but now she's kind of under the veil of TV mm-hmm. so she's like, yeah,
has to make
she's
it look
using
a certain way.
She's using all her like history with everyone.
Yeah,
it's pretty, I mean, smart of VH1
and smart of Jen.
Yeah,
like this was great.
Renee, I don't know if Renee was aware of that, but
yeah, Renee's like down for the ride.
Okay, fine, it's called Mob Watch. Rolling,
she's like, Slate. No,
Renee always is very comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, roll it, Jen.
And they're like, Renee, just
we're rolling.
We're rolling, girl. Rolling. We've been rolling since 9 a.m.
Okay.
Jet.
Cut it, Jet.
Ramona claims that she never wanted to fight physically and never set out to fight. And then she does the classic thing that I swear to fucking God, every liar always does this. And this is the number one tell when people are lying is when they go, I swear on my kids, or they swear on a family member. I immediately am like, you're lying.
Yeah, that's true.
She goes, I swear on my kids, who I love very much, who I do everything for, they live for, and they're my purpose. I never, ever wanted to fight. And she goes, I swear on your kids, who I actually like very much, to Drita again. I was like, okay,
well, that makes me think.
Fucking children. And she goes, but I saw her body language, and I saw her fucking body language, and it looks like it was getting heated, and I just knew that they were going to come. And I was like, you did not. You fucking needed your star moment.
Yep.
And, like, you got in there, and you stirred the fucking pot.
You needed to ensure a second season.
Yeah, or just, like, cement your place in your first season. Yeah. Drita's getting heated.
Mm-hmm. It starts, the Drita, the vein, the blood eyes start coming out. I love when we get the flashback of her with the red eye.
Drita is truly a Doberman.
She is. She starts getting up and then they finally, they stand. And Karen goes, you want to go to war with me?
Ramona also, I'm like, are you on blow right now?
I swear her and
Ramona
Karen
has
on.
A blow vibe.
She does, yeah. I believe it. You know, as a former cokehead, like, you could always suss out anywhere you were.
It takes one to know one vibes.
Who had the blow.
Yeah, I was just getting, like, cocaine energy from her. And then she and Drita scream at each other again about God knows what. I, like, lost the plot, but then Ramona goes, well, it's sad that you couldn't have anyone come out for you. And Drita goes, I could have brought many people there. They would have unleashed like beasts. And Ramona goes, and mine would have lit up the joint. And then they stand to like fucking take each other out. And that's when Renee goes, no.
Renee goes, ah. That's Renee's thing. She always, when someone starts fighting, she doesn't even say no. She just goes, oh. Oh. Doesn't do anything to help. Just, oh.
And stands in the middle of them screaming. And then Karen, also the whole time that they were screaming, and then even when they got up to fight, she keeps going, let me talk. Let me talk for a moment. Let me talk. And honey, I was like, Karen, shut the fuck up.
You've been talking this whole fucking season.
You've been talking, saying nothing.
Yeah.
You want to go to war?
You want to go to war with me? You want to come at my face?
You want to come at my face? We'll go to fucking war. I'll blow this shit up.
Renee goes into, whenever someone fights, she goes into fight or flight, I think. No!
She does something else. She freezes almost.
Oh! I think she just is a... I think Renee at her core is like...
She's one of the freezing goats. You know, the goats that you scare and they just go fully stiff and fall over.
Yeah.
But instead of going stiff and falling over, she just goes stiff and goes, no!
No! And then Joy is just kind of sitting there like, what the fuck am I... Joy's like, I had to deal with Rosie O'Donnell and Elizabeth fucking Hasselbeck.
She's like, well, hopefully the direct deposit for this job hits at midnight and I can go buy a pair of Manolos and like get a facial.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, let me talk. Let me talk. Can I talk for once? I was like, you're on coke again. You're definitely on coke. You're dying to talk.
You're blackout.
Yeah. But it goes on. There's one more part.
So we'll see what happens with the granddaughter of Lefty Smokehouse Toledo.
Lefty Smokehouse Tobacco Smoked Rib Prime Rib Chef.
Monipucciano.
They literally are drinking out of cups. That's what I think every single time, especially with Drita.
They released like beasts.
I could have brought many people there. They would have unleashed like beasts. I'm sure they did.
Yeah, girl, I know you would.
I wonder if Drita's killed someone or has like helped bury a body.
I think probably.
Do you think she's seen a body in a trunk?
Yes. I don't think she's ever helped, but I think she's been like, you got to take that out of here, like in the driveway at night.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see nothing. I got to go read to Jizz.
Mm-hmm. Jizz and Aaliyah are waiting for me to read them some fairy tales. Get that fucking corpse out of the fucking driveway.
Get that fucking sack.
Before I unleash like a goddamn beast.
Get that fucking sack of bricks out of my trunk and dump them somewhere. I mean, Staten Island is...
dumping ground.
Like a landfill heaven. So it's take it like to the landfill.
Island that exists on top of a trash island.
Yeah.
Cue the B-roll footage of garbage just floating up on the shore.
Get gorgeous this fucking Staten shit island. Out of my driveway.
Gorgeous fucking Staten Island.
Well, we'll be close to it soon.
Yeah, we have one more. Well, okay, one more Mob Wives ep and our Philly show, which by the time this is coming out
has aired,
is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
So
stay tuned.
Philly, we're ready for you.
We leave tomorrow at this time.
And then in our world where we're at right now, not the world that you're listening.
And whatever happens, what? Could even
in our dimension we leave tomorrow, but in your listener dimension we perform in Philly tomorrow, so just chew on that.
And what could even, I can't even imagine what could happen between now and then.
Literally so much.
So stay true.
Every day is a winding road. Stay fucking true.
Wish us luck and we'll see you on the road.
Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell.
This episode was edited by Ness Smith Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.